السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and also sisters listening over receivers, this is an ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have discussed in the past also on some Jummah occasion and some majlis. But if the ayat comes again to mind, then there could be some angle that we may have missed out which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants should be discussed. So therefore I have recited the same ayat again, and Allah Ta'ala only knows in which direction the thoughts will go. In this ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he's talking about the day of Qiyamah. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from embarrassment, from shame or disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. A great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, there's no time to go into the ayat and all the detailed discussion, but there are many things that have been mentioned before that. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, his great Nabi Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is saying, O Allah, do not cause any kind of embarrassment to come upon me on the day of resurrection, Yawma Yubathun. Great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection on the day of Qiyamah from embarrassment and shame or humiliation and disgrace. Those who committed no sins, those who had no evil in their lives, in fact, our iman is dependent or has come to us because of them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born in the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But yet he is saying, O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, don't allow any kind of embarrassment to come upon me. Then we hear about la yanfa malun wala banun. On that day when wealth and banun has been mentioned. Normally we will say children, but if we have to look at the word itself, which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses in the Quran Sharif, it is sons. Now my mind went on to that why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying sons. Yet when we are going to give a tafsir of the ayat, we will say that even the children will be of no avail, no help on the day of Qiyamah. And this is in the case of those who are kuffar, mushrikeen, yahood, nasara, those who are disbelievers in Allah Ta'ala. They reject belief in Allah Ta'ala in the day of Qiyamah. They've got shirk and kufr in their hearts. So it is for them that their children, there are many different meanings, that if their children have to even pray for those deceased parents of theirs, it's not going to be of any help. Even though those children may be pious, righteous, they may be believers, but if they are going to make dua that, Ya Allah, send my father to Jannat, send my mother to Jannat, it's not going to help them. The person himself or herself has to have iman. In this world, it is Sharia, it is Quran and Sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, look at the different ahadith, that if a person has got non-Muslim parents, he is a Muslim, but his parents are non-Muslim. So as long as they do not order him to worship anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, as long as those parents don't say that you must also commit kufr and shirk, they don't tell him that you too must wear cross round your neck and come and worship with us the idols that we worship. In that, of course, there will be no obedience, no matter who those parents are. But besides that, the children are encouraged to be good and kind to those parents. You must be extremely kind and extremely good to those parents. to assist them, to help them, to give them some food, some clothing, shelter. We must not consider that as some kind of haram activity. Although they may be non-Muslims, look at Sharia, look at Islam, how beautiful it is, because they are parents. They became the means of our coming into this world. So, لَا تَعَاتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ, that is there, that if they are instructing or ordering that we must do anything that is against the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, then we are not going to show any obedience to those parents, because now it is violating the rights of Allah Ta'ala. But if they are not ordering anything that is haram, so then it is necessary that these children, although those parents are non-Muslim, they must go out of their way to be kind to them. Because if they are going to assist them and help them, and it is happening now, why I'm suddenly this mind went on to that, is that at present there are many people who are coming into the fold of Islam. And when they're coming into the fold of Islam, their parents are becoming very agitated, they are becoming very irritated, and they want to have nothing to do with these children, they want to write them off, they don't want to even see them, or they come down upon them like a ton of bricks, why they accepted Islam. So those children become now very concerned that what do we do in this case? So what else do you do but that you try to be kind to them, help them, assist them, take some food, some hampers, some clothing, groceries, whatever it is. They are still parents. Be good to them and kind to them. Our akhlaq will win them over too. Just as this person accepted Islam, if he is going to behave in an appropriate manner and have good akhlaq and good character, then it will attract even those members of his family towards Islam. So that is a different issue altogether, that we cannot pray for them that now they must go to Jannat after they are dead. That is very clear cut, it is in the Quran Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not enter anybody into Jannat who has committed shirk and kufr, unless of course they brought iman before they passed away, if they were Muslims, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will enter them into Jannat. Then again the doubt arises that why must they go and suffer in the fire of Jahannam, because sometimes those non-Muslims, they were better than us when it came to charities, when it came to caring for the poor and the needy and the destitute. They built up hostels and they built up orphanages and they did this and they did that. Now all those things in their place, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will reward them in this world for what they have done. Therefore you will notice that such kind of people, they are given more and more. The more they spend in good causes, the more they are given. So they are given everything in this world. Allah Ta'ala is fair and just. He doesn't deprive anybody. So because of non-acceptance of iman, which is treason. Now we know people are being arrested. Our Mufti Bayyad Sahib has been arrested. Mufti Hussain Bayyad of Crescent of Islam. And Brother Abdul Rahman Saleh. They arrested there in Uganda. Now what did they go there for? They didn't go there to open up some factories and some business houses. They went there for humanitarian reasons, to go and help. They were always engaged in welfare and social work. But they have been arrested for what? They say for they are being implicated with some terrorists. They befriended some terrorists. The person who was their host, they say that he is part of a terrorist organization. So now how much a person can plead? Of course at present there's no charge, it is nothing but just speculation, and it is nothing but just harassment, which is so common around the globe now, that they are just profiling and people are being arrested, they are put into prison, they are being tortured and everything happens. But even if a person has to plead and say that my purpose for coming into this country was nothing else except on humanitarian grounds, that I came here to assist and help the poor and the needy, and we'll be spending so much of money in your country. So therefore, if we are, I'm talking about a hypothetical case, that if a person is part of a terrorist organization or he has committed high treason and he is arrested, so then they are not going to listen to all his pleas that I've built up so many hospitals and I've built up so many orphanages and I took care of so many poor and needy. Will they listen to such kind of argument? They are going to say you committed treason, and the punishment for treason in our country is execution. So they will put the person onto the gallows. So in this world, when the governments of this world do not want to recognize all the good work that is done by somebody, if that person is committing high treason, then it is high treason if that person doesn't want to believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even though the person may be giving a lot of charities and doing good works. So those parents who are not accepting Islam, it is a different issue altogether, because they are not believing in Allah Ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will deal with them, that is going to put them into the prison of hell. And no matter how much of pleading we may do, it's not going to help. So, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. But the point again there is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that sons, very subtly Allah Ta'ala is giving the message there. That is the beauty of the Quran Sharif, that sometimes we have to look deeply into the word itself which is being used, that Allah Ta'ala is giving the message here that people, when they want some kind of support and some kind of help and some kind of assistance, then generally they turn towards the sons. The person does not call upon his daughters that come to my help and assistance, I'm in this predicament and that predicament. No doubt the daughters have great love and great feelings and sympathy and compassion, but generally that is not their job, to go out onto the streets and go to the courthouses and do everything else for them. The people will look to the sons. Now, if that son is someone that has been cared for, given the proper upbringing and given the proper Islamic education, together with the secular education, nobody stops from the secular education. Sharia doesn't divide. There's no compartmentalization. But it must all be within the parameters of Sharia, and the niyat must be correct. So here Allah Ta'ala says that sons, although it can have a wider meaning, but here sons have been mentioned. And this is what is happening at present, that there are many, many fathers, many, many across the world, across the globe, because we get emails from different parts of the world and letters and SMSs. There are so many young girls who are complaining. They say that my father finds me a burden in the house. I am 25, 30, sometimes 40, sometimes even more. She says, I never turned down any proposals if they were good proposals. It's not that the girl was involved in some kind of illicit love relationship and she wouldn't marry anybody else except that person. And that's why the father also was stubborn and didn't get her married. I'm not talking about those cases. I'm talking about many cases where the girls, unfortunately, or it is Allah Ta'ala's system, Allah Ta'ala only knows when they will get some right proposal. So now the fathers are finding them a burden. And they're actually telling them that you are a burden on us. Why don't you just get married and get out of the house? Or why don't you also go to the nightclubs and cinemas or theaters or somewhere, or to the coffee houses and go and find some boy for yourself? They actually tell their own daughters like that. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't placed that burden on the girls. So therefore we must understand that if a person is spending on his daughters, it is a charity, it is a sadaqah. Spending on one's daughters is sadaqah and charity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, shall I not show you an excellent charity? We all talk about excellent charities. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, shall I not show you an excellent charity? So the excellent charity is this, that the person cares for that daughter who has come back to him. He got his daughter married, accident took place, son-in-law passed away. He didn't leave behind some big bank balance. Now the father has to take care of that daughter. So when he was getting her married, he was extremely happy. He thought that one burden now is less from his shoulder, and his responsibility has been fulfilled. And now within a few days and few months or few years, that daughter comes back. And she comes back with them, not only, she doesn't only come back herself, but she comes back sometimes with 3-4 children. Now that time, just think what the father, what goes through his mind. He will think that how am I going to now afford the taking of care of this daughter of mine plus her children. So at that time we have to understand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, or she was divorced. Some husband in his anger just fired the 3 bullets. Whereas he was supposed to give 1 talaq, he was very, very angry, then still give 1 talaq so that he can reconcile. Give 2 talaqs. Shariat didn't say that you must fire all three bullets one time. But after they are fired, oh Maulana, now I deeply regret. I was very angry at that time when I gave the talaq. So does anybody give talaq when they're very happy? He was very angry. So does anybody give talaq when you're very happy? So if we are not going to exercise control over this tongue of ours and fire the three bullets, then do we blame Shariat for that? So now that woman has come back because he gave her three talaq, and after the iddat, now she came back. Now that husband also, he does not have enough money to leave for the children's maintenance, etc. Now what's going to happen? Now this father will be burdened. Close to Qiyamah, the time will come when one man will have to take care of 50 ladies. So it's obvious that it's not 50 wives. We're not talking about somebody who was a deputy president of our country or anybody else who takes his large number of wives, another one who took his large number of wives to Dubai to celebrate at the taxpayer's expense from Swaziland and cost a couple millions of rands. We're not talking about those people. So it's obvious these 50 are not going to be wives. They are going to be those ladies and those daughters and those sisters who have come back or who are now under the care of this person. So at that time, believe me, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, shall I not show you an excellent sadaqah? We all talk about charities. Who must give charities around the globe? People are suffering here and suffering there. No doubt everybody is in need of charities because they are suffering. But what about those who are suffering in this manner and who are right close to us? We will not be prepared to spend on them. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that, shall I show you an excellent charity? It is to spend on that woman or that girl or that daughter who has come back. Now, whether she has come back due to divorce or she has come back due to the death of the son-in-law, whatever it may be, but she has come back. Now, the burden has come on the parents. So they must look forward to it. They must think that whatever I'm going to spend now is going to be sadaqah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person, that woman has nobody else to earn for her. Her livelihood, nobody else there is except this father now. And if it's not the father, then the brother or the uncle, somebody has to take care. But they did not put the responsibility on that girl. So now if that is the case with someone that is coming back after being widowed, then what about the one who is in the house, but unfortunately she is not getting a right proposal? Will that not be sadaqah also? So to spend on such kind of people, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you look at the other hadith of his, without going into detail, but the gist and the meaning of that is, and the message in those hadith sharif is this, and it's very clear that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives rizq and sustenance. Many a times the sustenance and rizq which is given in abundance to somebody, it is not only for himself, it is not only so that he keeps on increasing his bank balance and he keeps on making investments here and investments there. Again, it came to mind, there were two brothers. And one of the brothers phoned and told me, he says that I've got so much of debts and qaraz. But my brother says must make investment. He says, I don't have sufficient to pay off my debts. But he says, no, it's time now, you must learn to make investment. So I said, all right, give me your brother's number. So I phoned the brother and I said, your brother at present does not have enough money to buy a good vest. So where is he going to make investment? There's no money for investment. First he has to invest in a good vest because he's owing so much of money, qaraz. So now instead of all that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now gives to this person, and those who are old, those who are sickly, those who are handicapped, sometimes parents have to take care of handicapped children. Now that child will never be able to stand on his own feet and earn throughout its life. And the lifespan sometimes of the children is 25, 35, 45. They grow up, but they're still like little babies. There are so many children like that. Or they are suffering from some other kind of syndrome. Now the parents sometimes become agitated that how long will I have to take care? But they don't understand that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases their risk and sustenance for the sake of these children, for the sake of these old people who cannot earn anymore, or those who are bedridden, those who are sickly, those who are handicapped, those who are blind, those who are deaf, those who have cannot go to the marketplace and use their faculties to earn a livelihood. So Allah Ta'ala gives it to somebody in the family, either the father or the brother or the uncle or somebody. Now when this person uses on these family members who cannot earn for themselves and they are in desperate need, then it is a sadaqah. It is something that Allah Ta'ala rewards them tremendously on that. So, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. I was going to explain قَلْبِ Salim. I thought I will be explaining that. But this is why I said I don't know in which direction my thoughts will go. So a person should not become frustrated in the homes if there are old people, there are sick people, weak people, daughters who are not getting married. We are not talking about those young girls who get many proposals and from very, very good people, pious people, righteous people, person who is working, person who can support her, person who can provide for her home and give her the normal living conditions. But just because she is deeply in love with somebody who is not righteous, the person is known to be a drug addict, he is known to be involved in the casinos and discos and rave clubs, but because of their association from the school and from the university, now this girl says, no, I'm not prepared to accept any of those proposals that are coming. So then what happens is after some period of time, nothing comes. And then they sit and wait and wait and wait. Then they start cursing, but that is their own mistake. We're not talking about such kind of girls. I'm talking about those who are interested, who are keen, who would like to get married. So the fathers have got no right to tell such type of girls that you are a burden upon us. Some of them want them to pay rent and stay. I imagine a father asking a daughter. Yes, if the father is in desperate need, he just doesn't have the income, he's also in a situation where he requires assistance and help, then it is a different thing that if the daughter does something and helps the father. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that on that day the children are going to be of no help, the wealth is going to be of no help. But again in a hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطْوَ عَنْهُ أَمُلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ إِلَّا مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ النَّاسِ أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That when a person dies, his eyes get shut, then that's the end of his book of deeds. He can't do any more good deeds. But صَدَقَةِ جَارِيَةٍ, if the person has done something, he has provided for the community, or he has assisted in the building of the masjid, or he has dug up a well somewhere, providing water. He doesn't have to do the whole thing himself, so it means he participated. Or even if the person planted a tree, there are so many things the person can make sadqa jariya. The person left one Quran Sharif, or he passed on some knowledge. In any way, where the public, this community, the society, sometimes it can be even a hospital from which even the non-Muslims are benefiting. It's not necessary, it has to be only benefit to the Muslims. Now all that recurring sawab he will keep on getting even after his death. Or the person has left, as I said, ilmin yuntafo bihinnas, knowledge from which people are going to benefit. And the last part again is waladin salihin yad'u lahu, that the person leaves behind a son or child who will make dua for this person after his death. Now which child will make dua for the father? That child who has been given some knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah and proper upbringing, he will make some dua for the father and for the mother. But if that hasn't been given, then we'll end up like how that one person in the 1970s, and it's a true incident, he was sent away to England at a very early stage. And that time there were not so much of madaris and masajis and all in England. Things were very bad as far as Islamic knowledge and education was concerned. So this person grew up, this child grew up there, he studied there, went to the university, college and all, and then he came back. He had absolutely no knowledge of deen. And believe me, I'm in the masjid, the day that he landed there, the day that he landed in Pakistan, the same day his father passed away. His father was now really looking forward to his coming back and all that. He passed away on the same day. This young person went to the Qabristan. He doesn't know how to read Janaza Salat. And then at his father's grave, his friend stated this to me. He says, at his father's grave, this person, he had his hands up like that. And he says, oh, my dear father, how I wish that you had given me some knowledge of Islam and Quran so that I could have read something today. I don't even know how to read Surah Fatiha yet. So, waladin salihin. The child must also be salih and must make dua for the parents. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. May He bless us with qalb salim. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala wills, then sometime we will continue. Preparation for Ramadan must begin. Allah ta'ala remove the difficulty, the hardship, pain and suffering of the ummah. And these ulama and others who have been arrested, Allah ta'ala must create the conditions for their release from such kind of injustice and imprisonment. And not only them, those who are in Guantanamo and wherever else they are, we must make deep-hearted du'as for them. Just think that if it was our child, our son, our guide, what would have happened? So they didn't go there, as I said, for some factories or construction works or anything else. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for their families also, and for the families of everyone whose family members are in prison or are being tortured or being unjustly detained. May Allah Ta'ala create the conditions for the release.